This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Career. It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I'm happy to be here again. The view is just beautiful. I mean, you look up now, there's always this scene with the one palm tree that sits right in the canyon. And the white terns fly around, and it looks rather peaceful. And anyway, and that's then we come back inside and deviate from the peacefulness, I guess. But I asked Polka if he could stay in with me and talk about. I love the questions and the callers listening to his show, and of course Ed. I appreciate his comments, all of you, because it's. While it's supposed to be a conversation, we be factual, but then we express our opinions and then we try to share. We go out and find things and come back and talk about them. But what struck me, why I thought this is a good time to speak to that and ask Polka to stay, because while I'm concerned with global issues, and I do, but there are a lot of things here locally that I understand, and so... As Ed say, the guy from Mississippi. But, you know, we come from all walks of life and all corners of the earth, and wherever our roads cross, we work and we contribute to the better of society. And so I heard that and I thought, gee, what if the Freedom Riders stayed at home and worried about the price of cotton or their education, and why worry about the poor black folk down there getting their butts kicked and dogs bitten? And what if they had stayed home? What if they had not have gone into the churches in North and recruited other children, the non-African Americans or the non-minorities, and went in the churches? And what if they had been told, stay out of that. That's, you got problems here. We got the trash isn't picked up every day. We need to work on that. The streets got potholes. So it's, if you think globally, you can contribute to all of this. And yes, I am going to be talking about the Hawaii Kai Marina. And it has so many similarities and common elements, and that is government and lack thereof of transparency. So to set the stage and the line in the sand, so to speak, understand that the Hawaii Kai Marina, as in my opinion, based on the documents that I have received, the Army Corps of Engineers permit, what I have here, I'm gonna. So if you got a note, and those of you that are interested, so we can get past, like Polk and myself, we want to be factual, and I observe that on his show quite often, and not want to be, we attempt to be. So if you're interested in this and following the facts, now I don't want you to call me up and tell me what Kimberly Pine said, because Pine's involvement in this is not refreshing. It's not a breath of fresh air, and we'll talk about that and convey to you how she has hopped on the bandwagon, so to speak, but I would call it the honey wagon. Something smells here. But the Department of the Army, which is the Army of Corps of Engineers, issued a permit, and that permit is P, as in Paul, 0, H, as in Henry, 20100280. My grandmother always told me, when you know you've done something wrong and you know you've been caught, don't fess up, but don't keep lying, because that invites more digging and scratching to exposure. So understand something. In the Hawaii Kai Marina and entrance channel, they gave latitude longitude, the Army Corps of Engineers. Here are the specific sites this material was supposed to go to under this permit, so we'll settle all arguments on that. The disposal sites include Rim Island 1, which is located in the marina. And they gave specific latitude and longitude. Number two, Yacht Club, area latitude. They gave that. That is an area within the marina area confines. Portlock Beach, Mauna Loa Bay Beach Park. Some of the dredging was supposed to be placed there. And the last one is South Oahu Ocean Dredge Material Disposal Site, or SOOD-MDS, and they gave a latitude, longitude. There's absolutely nothing in here that was approved or even considered. And so what happened, and we'll discuss it later in greater details, they found that it was too expensive and the barges couldn't fit under the bridge, so that, voila, somebody screwed them out of some money or did something, gave them bad advice. So the next thing, they wanted to go to PVT and dump it there, but they then found that it was about $2.3 million. So they said, well, what the heck? We'll find Sir Trucking, and Sir Trucking dumps it up there, and we'll get in greater details in the next hour. So, Polka, thank you. Can you go ahead and give some comment if you want to and speak to the...
Well, I'm not all that familiar with the issues here, but it seems like the permit was given for dumping in the ocean right outside of Mauna Loa Bay. And yet they decided to rearrange, in essence, an unpermitted dumping out in the west side.
Right.
It's an absolute violation. And on top of that, the truck ended up dumping it on the freeway.
Yes.
And I spent 4 hours trying to come back to Waianae.
Yes.
On that Saturday evening after my radio show. And there was an awful lot of traffic because of this violation of trying to dump it there.
Right.
Is there really any question about it but a violation of dumping?
A violation of the natural elements that we all live under, we're guided by, and that is you drive down the road with the truck loaded with materials that you're going to go and dump, and voila, you crack, the tailgate pops open, and there's a guy from Mississippi who has a camera who says, well, you know what, I'm going to go poke my nose into that, man, and find out, what is this? And you smell the stench, and then from there, so the stars must have been aligned for the public, because they surely weren't aligned for this situation for the people involved, because what's unraveling here is absolutely unbelievable. You have, talking about bocce, or what would you describe it?
Yeah, I think bocce.
you have an accident, all of a sudden the guy from Mississippi comes along, don't know how he got here, and then in turn, voila, he tracks it back, finds it dumped over there, and it's coming from Hawaii Kai.
I know exactly what's in their mind. They're saying, oh, no, not Carol Cox. No, not him.
And the Army Corps of Engineers, this is why it's so appropriate when you're talking about Syria and all. Mm-hmm. Our government, we have lost control of our government. We have lost respect. Our government does not respect the people. Mm-hmm. It is not fair and balanced. And whoever has the buck and the bullets and the trigger, or finger trigger, they got control. And it is so relevant. And that's why I don't spend much time dealing with foreign issues, but what you're talking about is quite relevant because it's our government in action or in inaction. One other point here, so that, and then we're going to, there's callers waiting, and I want Polka to give more. The State Department of Land and Natural Resources is just one of many people that permit, or agencies responsible for permitting this process of this activity. So that you'll know now, well, let's get past all the he say and what the newspaper wouldn't report and all of that. I'm going to tell you, and you can go away and do what you want to do with it, but the CDUA that the state issued is 0A, as in alpha, 3584. Listen up. This is what the marina and its representatives and its consultant represented to the government. The FEA, and we'll talk, discusses the disposal methods that will be used for this project. Upland off-site disposal via ground transportation is not expected as part of this project. Therefore, no traffic impact analysis report or mitigation will be required. So this thing is riddled And where was the government in this, the state government? They have to monitor. They have people there on site. Where is the Army Corps of Engineers? They knew. But when I called the Army Corps of Engineers, I was treated as if I was the lowest class thing you've ever seen in life. But we'll address that later. Because they know that they're allowing something that is questionable. There should have been a supplemental environmental impact statement, at least, at minimum.
If they were going to take it
out. If they were going to take it out there, so that the public would have an impact or influence or input on that.
Is it the case that the contractors merely decided on their own that, forget the permits, let's just take it out to Waianae. We found someone who is willing to take it out and a place to dump it. And it was on the Hawaiian Homes land, I believe.
Well,
and they thought it was an easy escape from that response.
Well, one of the things and callers, I apologize for not getting you right. One of the things that is interesting is that I spoke to an official there at the marina that works there. She informed me that they were going to send it to PVT, private land company, to dump it in where it's properly allowed. But again, this wouldn't be a proper because it's not consistent with the permit because they were supposed to dump
already
it in the ocean.
A violation.
It's already a violation, but they found it was too expensive, so they decided, and she's aware of this, so the marina is aware, per her comments, they decided it would go to Sur private land company. So anyway.
Interesting.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead. You have a question or comment?
Hello, Carol.
Yes.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, this is Johnny Mae Perry, resident of Waianae Valley Homestead since 1978. I did a little bit of research of my own. And if I could have some time and just read some of the documents that I obtained on my own and paid for the printing costs on my own.
You must be bankrupt now. They charge you big
bucks. I am. But here it goes. Notice to Marinas, Hawaii Kai Marina Maintenance Dredging 2013. American Marine Corporation and the Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association will be conducting maintenance dredging, growing, construction, and beach replenishment activities in Hawaii Kai Marina in 2013. Working hours will be between 7 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, excluding holidays. Next is a letter from the Department of Land and Natural Resources. The subject is draft environmental assessment. Okay. And then next I have, so in that it says, proposed action. Sediment removed from the marina will be disposed of through a combination of on-site upland disposal and offshore open ocean disposal, while sediment dredge from the entrance channel will be disposed of via beach nourishment. Proposed disposal options are based on a problematic sediment investigation through which sediment types were matched by physical and chemical properties with the most appropriate disposal alternative. Next, placement of dredging material. The Hawaii Kai HKMCA conducted a sequence search for sediment management options to accommodate the proposed dredging material. This approach prioritized beneficial use of sandy sediments for beach nourishment and on-site upland use of fine sediment physically unsuitable for beach nourishment. This sequence search for sediment management alternative led the HKMCA to conclude that disposal of dredge material from Hawaii Kai can be most feasibly accomplished with a combination of on-site upland disposal area, beach nourishment at two adjacent beaches, and off-site open ocean disposal of fine sediments from the marina.
Right.
Placement of dredge material at Rim Island number one. Okay. The Rim Island number one is a man-made island approximately 1 acre in size within the marina. The island was constructed in 1960 by using dredging material for the sole purpose of future dredging material management.
Right.
Okay, and then it has their sediment placement at Yacht Club property.
Mm-hmm.
Next, placement as beach nourishment. Okay, that's all coming from the DEA. Ocean disposal. The remaining of the dredging material from the marina would go to the South Oahu Ocean Dredge Material Disposal Site. Okay. Okay, bear with me. I have tons of papers.
Well, we don't want to get in because we have the same documents in. But what about the? If I could ask you, what about the community? The impact on the community. What would you say to the community, and what would you say to our officials, the city and county of Honolulu, the people there at Hawaii Kai Marina, as a community member? What would you, information or what pleas would you make to them?
Well, before I go on to that, I think that the piece that the public should know is this is from the applicant is Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association.
Right.
This next document is from the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
This document is the CDUA, you mean?
The
Conditional
Office
Use.
Of Conservation.
Mm-hmm.
Conservation and Coastal Lands.
Okay. Right.
This is this recommendation. There's a total of 30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just highlight that number 28. The hours of proposed project will be limited to 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, excluding state holidays. Number 29. Other terms and conditions as may be prescribed by the chair. And number 30, fail to comply with any of these conditions shall render this conservation district use permit null and void.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
their permit, the applicant's permit, was void and null as soon as anything left this site.
Mm-hmm.
So the job should have been stopped by DLNR at that point. Okay, and Sir Trucking was hauling the material to Waianae 5 months, and I am told they also ran in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
should be done? The dredging should be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
As of tomorrow, it should be stopped by DLNR. What else should be done? Sir Trucking was hauling 5 months according to the write-up. I called Ms. Silva and I said that she owes the community and the public a public apology if she is courageous enough to give me a call back. Okay? And when Manolo did his piece, there was a realtor sign. So we are to believe that the property in question is up for sale. Buyer beware.
Right.
So what else should be done?
Yeah.
Return the site back to its original origin in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
After a traffic study is done of the site and the origin, graded permit of the site and origin, once that's done, a copy to the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board.
So what are you suggesting, Anitra, for clarity? Are you suggesting that it's okay when you say a stockpile permit, a grading permit be issued?
Wait, I have more to offer.
No. You need to answer some questions. I mean, I don't want to just throw things out there and convolute. Are you, for clarity...
I'm saying that the DLNR should stop the project in Hawaii Kai, period.
Okay, and the one
but eventually, once everything's corrected, as you know, business as usual.
Well, not in this case. We're not doing this with the expectation that the result's going to be business as usual.
Well, if business as usual, this is what I'm saying, Sir Trucking should be done, should do, and if it this goes continue, I want those trucks to be police escorted to and from with a signed manifest from the HPD and the driver. My husband said what should be done is a PUC license should be pulled.
Okay. But on the clarification, on the getting the grading permit, you're not advocating that they, or I'm suggesting if they get a grading permit, then they can continue to dump. I want to make sure that
that's... I'm saying that from Waianae, the site where it's at now, the sludge, back to Hawaii Kai.
Okay.
The
okay.
origin.
So you
the
want
site.
Them to get a permit to solely for the purpose of cleaning it up and carrying it back to Hawaii Kai, is
correct.
It? Okay. All
that's
right.
what I'm saying.
All righty.
Okay,
I just want to make sure we don't, because there's people out there.
No, I don't want it to come here. The job needs to stop immediately, tomorrow. Stop.
Okay.
By DLNR.
Okay.
And then on this side, in Waianae Valley, the homestead where I lived since 1978,
mm-hmm.
on Silva's property, a study, traffic study should be done, a grading permit from her site where it's dumped now, back to the origin, back to Hawaii Kai. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And the trucks to be escorted by HPD. She was hauling 5 months. I want it done in 2 months.
Okay. Okay, hold on 1 second. Polka, you have any?
Okay, I'm
Jeremy, gears. Hold on.
I'm ready to shift gears.
I know, but we're not. Hold on.
Hi, Johnny May.
Hey.
Thank you for all that information. My question would be transporting now the junk, or the sludge, mm-hmm. I shouldn't call it junk, back to Hawaii Kai.
Correct.
If done without a permit, to what extent does it, violate some sort of health and safety requirement? So I don't think the answer is simply pull it out immediately, but it has to be,
tested.
It has to proceed with some care to make sure that the transportation is appropriate. I don't think that will be a long process, and I don't know of any specialty that the police may have in terms of watching for the safety, other than just acting as an escort. Whose property was it dumped in? Was it Hawaiian Homes land leased to someone, or was it private property? Do
private
you know, Johnny May?
Private.
Oh, it was private.
Yeah, but along the area is
yeah.
the Kapuni Stream.
Okay. And
then across there is the Waianae Valley Homestead.
Yeah. Okay, I think there's some question as to the appropriateness of the dumping that the homeowner or the real estate owner has to answer to and should be subject to some kind of investigation. I think the city, who is responsible for grading permits and dumping permits, should be taking a look at it. I believe that the material needs to be removed, but there's going to have to be some... appropriate review. There's a suggestion that DLNR is somehow involved in the illegality that occurred. From what I've heard, I don't see DLNR's issuance of the permit was in any way in error. It was the people who actually transported the material who decided to violate the permit terms itself. And I believe that the woman who had knowledge of the fact, and she was an employee, I believe, of either the DLNR or the city, has to be questioned, and perhaps the agency that she works with have to be examined to see if there was collusion in that they knowingly allowed the material to come out to Waianae. Finally, as I read the reports that came out on this issue, it was always with the idea from the violator side that we need to come out to Waianae and educate the people to tell them that it wasn't all that bad. So it's that superiority attitude that the people need to be educated, because obviously they don't really understand that the material isn't all that bad. The people themselves are saying, hey, just follow the appropriate process. If you're going to dump in this area, and if it calls for some deviation from the regular process, then should there not be hearing? Should there not at least have been exposure before the neighborhood board? Shouldn't the people know that this was happening and have had the right to have a contribution in that discussion?
Are you referring to Hawaii Kai Neighborhood Board?
Not necessarily that neighborhood board, because I don't think it was a neighborhood board that undertook the redirecting of where the material was to be dumped. I think it's the real violators were the contractors. And they should, of course, I think, to a certain extent, be penalized.
One of the things, the state is in error in that when you issue a permit, and this is a practice here in the state, give them the permit, goodbye, good night, and don't bother us. And when the public come, like myself, inquiring, in this case, though, I have to admit, and my hat's off, I applaud Sam Limo, who is handling this, was quick to provide me the documentation. I don't think he grasped the significance of what had occurred. And I believe Sam is logical enough to look at these facts. And as to stimulate that, to ensure that he do look at them, I file a formal complaint.
Stimulating while I hold on, Mr. Cox. I'm getting stimulated here. Can I share my point of view?
Go for it.
Okay, now I'm going to shift gears. Okay, I am Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board 24th Chair.
Mm-hmm.
I have received a complaint from a resident of Waianae Valley Homestead, and our elected officials and others received the same email as I have received August 15th. My reply eventually was, several months back at the neighborhood board, Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board, I addressed the mayor's rep about Kapuni Park. So then when he came back and reported, he said an investigator was sent out and there was nothing unusual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. September 3rd, the mayor's rep was not present, but provided a written report from the previous month.
Was
not present at the Waianae Coast Neighborhood Board on September 3rd. So, however, he did report, he did submit a written report of the previous month's questions. At the meeting of September 3rd, a resident of Waianae Valley Homestead brought up the issue about the illegal dumping of the sludge. I would like to thank the truck driver, intentionally or not, for what had occurred. If that didn't happen, the trucking would have continued, and what it triggered public attention, public complaints, and finally reaction from our elected officials.
Okay, well.
And because I was at the September 3rd meeting, I was not able to see Rick Daysog and Manolo Morales' video. But once I've seen it,
mm-hmm.
as chair, I am compelled to hold a special meeting, and I strongly urge that the panelists be at the special meeting. Top of the list are the mayor, DPP director, DLNR, William Isler Jr., HDOT director, followed by Kimberly Pine and Hawaii Kai District Council member, Senator for Waianae and Hawaii Kai, Representative for Waianae and Hawaii Kai, be at this special meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Invited guest is Carol Cox, Rick Daysog, Manolo Morales, Waianae Valley Homestead residents, and other homestead residents. We have 5 homesteads in 96792 alone. The public and media are all invited. It has not been confirmed, but I'm looking at September 18th because I have to check if the facility is available.
Okay, well,
so
we'll...
I'm looking at September 18th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at Waianae District Multipurpose, Waianae District Park Multipurpose Room. Again, it has not been confirmed, so once it's confirmed, agenda will go out to inform the public. And if anybody wants to write to me, my email address is yninb@yahoo.com. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jenny May.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
My name is Jack, and good morning to you both. Hi there, Carol.
Hello there, Jack.
I got the word yesterday. I bumped into Johnny May, and she said, by all means, tune into the Carol Cox Sunday morning show and add my 2 cents, the proverbial 2 cents. And she also mentioned that on today's show you would be covering GMO. Am I correct?
No, I don't know, but if you got something that's really hot and heavy, yeah, let's talk GMO, but after this, yeah.
Well, let me first address this issue that has just been brought up, and Johnny May hopefully will get a definite date on the 18th for all the parties to meet at the Waianae District Park.
Okay, well...
You know, it never ceases to amaze me, and I'm sure all concerned parties, of how incidences like this have a chronic pattern of repeating themselves time and time again. Because the perpetrators of this kind of activity unfortunately believe that the communities that they operate in are asleep, or they don't have any information to follow up on to address these illegal activities. And all I can say is we here in the community, including myself, are not asleep, and we are monitoring all of these illegal activities that impact our community. There is an awakening. People are being concerned the direction that our city officials are leading us into. And we have finally realized that they are there not to represent us, the will of the people,
yeah,
which they are elected to represent, but they are representing the will of the developers and, quote-unquote, the robber barons.
Yeah, hold that thought. I'm going to entertain another caller, but hold that thought, and because I have something to offer, and I'm sure Polka has a comment on that, okay?
I'll stay tuned.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yo, what's up, Carol Cox?
I want to know what you got, my friend, real quick.
Oh.
What's the question regarding to this subject we're discussing?
Oh, I think... What's up?
Nothing's up to date.
What?
Nothing. Okay. Well, you know, when you hand a man some candy, always, if he behaves right, fine, give him more candy, but at some point, take a stick to him. No, I'm just kidding. We don't believe in violence here, but we won't give you any candy. But anyway, look at this. Johnny May said that she mentioned something to the effect, Polka, that the elected officials are doing something or something. And Johnny May, if you're still there, that's why I didn't want you to rush off. But anyway. Let me just give you what Jack is saying. And Jack, I really appreciate that. Every time we talk, I just think I walk away with more information and more specifics. I just don't believe in saying the wolf is there. I want to see it. And here's something. You heard me make the comment that pine is not so refreshing in this matter. And some of the articles that I've written, she's knee-deep to the effect, paraphrase, knee-deep in the sludge on behalf of the people. Well, let me just submit this to you. On August 22nd, Kimberly Pines, City Councilwoman Kimberly Pines, Louis Galdera sent back a letter on August 22nd, and it says Here's a aloha all. Here's a synopsis of the response from the Department of Planning and Permitting regarding TMK 850404. The DPP inspectors have conducted an investigation, quote, I'm sorry, and are working with the lessee, Mrs. Silva, and becoming compliant with the Oahu Soil and Water Conservation Plan, which is required for an agriculture exclusion from the city's grading ordinance. The inspector will continue to do follow-up inspection and enforcement. According to the lessee, the soil is for farming purposes. The lessee was informed about the need to install appropriate best management practices to contain potential runoff from the work area. Please be assured that DPP will continue to monitor the situation and take the appropriate action as necessary when the investigation is completed. Mahalo for your support. Mahalo to Department of Planning. This is what he's saying to the Department of Planning and Permitting for the very fast response. I CC'd both neighborhood boards' chairs, as I understand the issue was mentioned at the Nanakuli board, neighborhood board. Now, okay, September 5th, Kimberly Pine writes, now this is all she did, now a little letter, as they normally do, play it safe, I'm involved, innocuous, noncommittal, absolutely going to get you nothing as a community. This is the style of Kimberly Pine. And then September 5th. She writes this letter that even I shook, and I was nervous. Of, my God, this councilwoman has got some huevos. She's going to really, I better watch out. Responding to community concern that tons of sludge is being dredged from the Hawaii Kai Marina and dumped in Waianae, Councilmember Kimberly Marcos Pine is demanding that the Hawaii Kai Community Association remove all of the debris and return it to holding areas in Hawaii Kai. Well, gee, isn't that funny? Her lead man in her office writes back, everything is kumbaya. They're working on it. You see? And she only hops on the bandwagon when, hey, it's safe. It's safe. Not safe for the community, but safe for Kimberly Pine. Folks, this isn't about anything but you being manipulated. This is the greatest insult to injury that I've seen in recent times, where she has a letter and daring, knowing that this letter floats out there, where she, on the 22nd, almost 15 days, she did nothing but communicate back to the community. And then she goes on to say in her aggressive letter and tone of voice, the city has cited SER Trucking. This was on the 5th. Well, the city had not cited. They issued the notice of violation on the 6th of September. You see, Kimberly Pine... You lose. You never had my vote, but I hope that people out there know what you are and how you operate and what you're doing. You're not guiding, you're not leading, and you're not protecting. You don't have the interests of the people. You have Kimberly Pine in mind. And those of you that wrote these articles that talk about she's doing so great, ask her for her emails if she's there to show you. She did nothing. She lay down on the job and just kicked the Hawaiians back to the people that were victimizing. The bottom line is, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. She also said they were cited for the not proper grading permit. It's a stockpiling permit. However, Councilmember Pine does not believe this is enough to stop the potentially illegal dumping. Wait, if you're going to speak, Councilwoman Pine, this isn't a potentially illegal thing. You just said that they got a citation on the 5th as you wrote this. Then why would they give a notice of violation if it was potentially illegal? You get a violation notice because it's illegal. You follow, Jack? So go ahead, and Polka, you guys take it, because I got to get some fresh air. This kid, this pine is just nuts.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the smell test, does it?
Exactly.
I hear you loud and clear, and all I can add to this conversation, and I'm glad that it's part of the discussion of your program today, is that those, you know, who believe in our elected officials, you know, they have a sense of invulnerability, that they have been at this for so long that nobody really knows what's going on or have the wherewithal and the time to pay attention to what they're doing. And I've got to say that the public here, the community in which I live, we're paying very close attention to what's going on. Johnny May is finally beginning to realize that the will of the people that she represents, you must be vigilant, okay? And we've come to realize that if we don't protect our own interests, those that we have given that trust to have failed. And I'm here to give them notice that they better do the right thing and realize that they work for us. Mm-hmm. We are not here to work for them. Mm-hmm. And for them to, you know, get it straight and do the right thing. It's all, you know, it's the honorable thing to do, and we're watching, and we're listening, and we're monitoring everything they do that detracts from the will of the people and the welfare and health of our communities, not only here in Waianae, Makaha, Nanakuli, and island-wide, statewide. The people have finally said to themselves, the awakening is at hand, and we are going to take back the control of our destiny.
Well, we better start taking control, because I have a little hand-slapping to do for that community, too. Darn it, you sent the complaint out on the 15th, and you got back her response on the 22nd. Don't wait until the great powers-to-be finally, they let you see it, you file a complaint, and everybody mulled over it, and everybody being in the community. Nothing happened. And then you had one more chance, you know, the great powers to be said, well, they didn't get it that time. I'm going to make this truck spill its load and see if they'll get it, because they ain't getting it, right? So, and it takes, so I'm going to set this up and, this time, I'm going to have somebody from Mississippi to be stuck in traffic and get aggravated and then go over. And then maybe the community will get up in arms. But so what I want to say to that, Jack, you know, you and I always talk. Enough of the spirituality a bit. There's been so many signs from heaven, if I may borrow that description, and people aren't getting it. They need to stop trusting. Forget the theoreticals and the spirituality. The spirit is with you. It's just that now when you send an email to someone and they write you some lame jack information like this, it's time. The same vigor and the same fight you have stimulated now should have been triggered then, because this isn't the first time. So my words to the community out there, it's not all the part of Kimberly Pine and the politicians duping you. You need to change your ways too, community. Enough is enough. And so, Polka, hold on, Jack. Polka, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the documents, and I'm new to a lot of this. I noticed that on April 1st, there was an application for a stockpiling permit, and that was from Sandy Silva, who appears to be the owner of that property.
Right.
And on April 24th, then you have a second application from the Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association, who appears as, and interestingly, as a contractor. I didn't know that a community association also carried a contractor's license. But it doesn't show, at least the copy I have, it doesn't show that the permit was in fact granted, but it does show knowledge of the fact that they needed
they need it. And if you look at that permit, what if you were to go to POSSE, which is a city website that discloses permits, here's the situation. Always remember, a permit is a specific document that if you, in that permit you have there, Polka, it says boulders. So, for example, there is a valid permit for that area that they're in Waianae for the Silvers property. But it has to be specific. That permit that is valid is for gravel that is received from Grace Pacific. So you have to be specific. So when you bring in the material from Hawaii Kai, you must disclose that that is the origin or borrow where you're borrowing it from.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, you must file a stockpiling declaration or profile, which would then disclose all of the constituents of concerns or if there's any in that. So, yes, they do have a valid permit, but it has nothing to do with the Hawaii Kai Marina sludge So just in case, you know, we're out there. So, Jack, real quick, and you can call in the next hour, but you got any closing comments? Or we're coming down to the last couple of minutes.
Well, just to reiterate the message that you're quite on, you know, on board with, and everybody needs to be aware of this. The time for action is now. Mm-hmm. Actions have always spoken louder than words. And here it is. It has always taken a dedicated minority to change anything for the better. So, please out there, the community that I dearly love and cherish, it is time for us to organize and make a stand.
Well, excuse me, Jack. What action specifically are you talking about other than the general call for action?
Well, specifically, to begin with, when I'm, you know, anti-rail, and, you know, it's all part of ramrodding and deception.
But you're not answering the question, Jack. What specific action with regards to this matter are you calling for?
Showing up at the Honolulu Council meetings, you know, participating in the Waianae neighborhood boards, and at the same time working with people to have an organized effort to show up at the Capitol in numbers.
I understand the public participation that is necessary, but when you call for action, other than speaking your mind, what are you proposing as how this matter should be resolved?
Well, we need to monitor it and make our voices heard.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, hey Jack, there's one other caller. Call back in the second hour. We're gonna pick this up, and if Polka wants to stay with me, but it's worthwhile. So we'll talk to you next hour, okay? And we can pick up some GMO at the later part of that hour. All right?
Okay. Thanks. Very good, Ken.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Okay. I think some action should be taken, but it's always a question of what specifically, so mm-hmm. that when you advocate, you can be very specific rather than just expressing concern, because it leads to further frustration, which is good, but it has to be contained in a specific pinpointed direction.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I've been involved in so many action, and all we do is protest about what we don't like.
Right.
But we're not giving some positive statement. In this case, there's a notice of violation, and I think, of course, we should be concerned about the enforcement of this notice of violation.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to track exactly who should be held responsible and call for that responsibility.
Right. And the critical thing there, if you look at that notice of violation, it really doesn't say much. It's probably more of an appeasement to the public to hush and shut them down. Because it just say, if you don't have it done by some date in October,
mm-hmm. the 7th of October.
Yeah, the 7th of October, we might come and get you.
Mm-hmm.
Still yet. So the word and advice that I have to the public is that the action that was taken is typical. The mayor did absolutely nothing other than a formality. I wrote the mayor a formal letter asking him to issue a cease and desist, not a stop work order as in the notice violation. And I asked him to take other measures and other actions. So that's what the community must understand, or you're going to be stuck with this muck.
Yeah.
That this notice of violation is absolutely nothing, so don't rest your hats
on. That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Call a good morning real quick. You have a comment or question?
Okay, Polka. We're down to the last minute, as you know the, what do they say?
Yeah, you know the routine on that side of the board.
But we'll be back in the next hour if you'd like to join us. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can also pick up all of these documents at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. Don't just listen to what we say and how we say it. We trust the documents. And no, I'm not Dan Rather, so I'm not going to take documents that are jockeyed around unless the government... They originate in the government's office. I don't really touch them. So anyway,
We'll be back in the next hour. Call if you're inclined to talk. Call the next hour, 524-1080, and we'll be back shortly.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. For the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. My guest here with me is Pokala Nui, as a Hawaiian potpourri, who precedes me this show from 8 to... actually, from 7 to 9, we're still trying to adjust to this, but and as you know, the show, Carol Cox Show, is from 9 to 11. Anyway, we were talking about the Hawaii Kai Marina sludge issue that's been dumped out in Waianae. So let me set something and set it very clear. The issue does not rest with the people that the residents of the Hawaii Kai Marina, vicariously maybe one would add, but I speak directly to many of the ones in Hawaii Kai. These actions and inactions that occurred, or oversights or flaws that we're noticing, rest with the board of the Hawaii Kai. And as you know, the infamous Robert Clark, that I did call him up and attempted to invite him on the show, and he said that, basically paraphrasing, he didn't have anything to say to me because clearly I had already made statements and I was already concluded that things were bad and represented. And as you know, this is a gentleman who says that there's nothing wrong with the soil and all of that and, you know, whatever he implied, and it came from the mountains. And I just, a little comedy in the game here. Imagine it washes down from the mountain, as he described, the dirt now, because the cars, when they put their grease and all of that, and when you spray your lawns and all of that, and the insecticides and pesticides that you put in your house and all, that doesn't come from the mountain. But we'll just forget that, Robert. So the dirt that came down from there filled your marina, And then you say, well, let's just take it and put it up against the mountain in Waianae so it could roll down and fill their harbors, Pokai Bay. Hee hee. Wow. You know, brilliant. Anyway, this is the kinds of arrogance that when people, and then to openly vocalize it. See, I'm arrogant, but I'm careful as well. But, you know, I know when to push.
I think the subject is, what was the Hawaii Kai Marina permitted to do,
mm-hmm.
and did it violate the permit? If it violated the permit, who had knowledge?
Right.
Who was chairing this committee dealing with the sludge,
mm-hmm.
and reported to the board of directors? Because mm-hmm. the board of directors is held responsible. Now, there's some technical issues with regard to a volunteer board for a not-for-profit organization
mm-hmm.
and not holding them individually responsible. But you do have someone who's insuring the board for directors' violations.
Right.
And so there should be some repercussions. Now, they decided to undertake this issue on their own and act as a contractor in this case on their own rather than hiring a contracting agency. So I think there's going to be some liability on, mm-hmm. on behalf of that board for an obvious violation
mm-hmm.
of the terms of the permits.
Right. Now, one of the things I wanted to clarify, and we'll get to this caller, and that is we talked about upland, and in the part of this permit, it talked about the upland disposal, allowing it. And I had said earlier that it was not allowed for off-site upland. This was allowed for on-site upland disposal, which was Rim Island One and Yacht Club. So let's be careful. I'm accurate in reading and what I've read. It's just that there is a upland, but that is the artificial Rim One Island, which is contained within that. And the way the law reads is that if you generate waste, it could be hazardous. And there are some talk, I don't have the actual documentation, but speaking that there was hazardous material that they were supposed to contain. We don't know. I don't have the documents to speak to that, so I'm just right now speaking peripherally about it. But again, the only upland that was authorized was on Rim Island 1, which would have not been ocean disposal.
Is it that it's okay to dispose within the same ahupua'a? If it's a mauka, then okay, you can dispose of it someplace makai
mm-hmm.
or towards the ocean. But when you transport it across the island, then it becomes, it's somewhat discriminatory.
Right.
You know, on the poor people taking your rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And I will call it rubbish in this case because
right.
you don't want it contained within your own area.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some hint of discriminatory practice.
Yeah. Oh, I characterize it as the worst case of environmental injustice that I've seen. And anybody want to take issue with that, it has all of the criteria, all of the elements. You have a community that is less fit for financially. Number one, and plus it's just wrong. It's just wrong. If you generate waste and you need to get rid of it, why on earth do you think through technicalities or whatever you think someone else would want to receive your pilikia or your
As an aside, if I can recall, about 25 years ago? Yeah, about 25 years ago, when you had this oily soil,
mm-hmm.
When there was leakage at gas stations,
right.
they decided they had to clear that up. And then they were going to truck it to the harbor out in
Kalailoa.
Kalailoa.
Mm-hmm.
And then send it off to Micronesia.
Right.
And I got arrested myself and my wife and my two kids who were 10 and 5 years old at the time. Under the essential principle that if it's your opala,
right.
then take care of it. Don't transport it to someone else's place and then claim that it's okay because they need it.
Yeah.
And so it's the same principle, whether you do it internally or you do it externally to another country.
Right. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Aloha.
Aloha. Good morning. How are you?
Okay, this is Georgette Stevens.
Yes, how are you, Georgette Stevens?
Hi, Poka.
Aloha.
Well, I just wanted to say that it's clear that Hawaii Kai Community Association is in violation of their permit. And I was just wondering what action is being taken on them.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Army Corps of Engineers, and I would encourage everyone that is involved in the community or have an interest to call the Army Corps of Engineers and file a complaint or get behind the one that we've already filed and called for, and also to call the EPA. I think under the Clean Water Act, with the way they situated that material there.
Why isn't the city doing anything about that permit? Is it because it's a Army Corps of Engineer permit?
No, I think the city is doing nothing because that's the way the city behaves. If it was in Hawaii Kai, if a truck showed up in Hawaii Kai...
From Waianae.
Yeah, from Waianae.
Right.
Or anywhere. It could be the freshest paint on a truck, anything. It's not going to set well. And so this is, again, why I say it's environmental injustice, and because the government entity just authorized this activity and then walked away with no oversight, not considering and being concerned or putting in place. And by the way, they required them to hire a biologist. The state required them to hire a biologist that lived here in the state to monitor these things for the animals and what have you. But this is typical and consistent with the normal practices of the state agencies and federal agencies who hand the permit, walk away, no oversight, no visitation. And
I think one particular approach would be to identify what permits were issued,
mm-hmm,
by what departments, and then track the violation of those departments, you know, the internal regulations governing those departments, track them so that it would not be only the city, it may be the state as well as the Corps of Engineers, and then see what the result of violation of those specific permits could be. I haven't done that research.
Yeah, I have all of those, and because it's so voluminous, that's why I post it up on carolcox.com. But the agencies that are involved is posted in there, and the DLNR is one of them, Army Corps of Engineers another, and the Soil and Conservation District Management, or what have you. But and then the State Department of Health. They, too, were there a month ago and still to date have yet... Well, I take that back. As late as last Friday, had not received a profiling, but they knew it was happening a month ago. So this is the thing, Georgia.
So none of our governmental agencies are held accountable.
No, they don't hold anyone accountable, and they don't hold themselves accountable. It's a free fall when it comes to communities like the Waianae community. Take Miley Stream with all of the cement dumped in the river. So, again, this is, I think, Poca, you alluded to, what actions do you take?
Yeah. If I was to look into it, I would look at the administrative rules first,
mm-hmm,
and then maybe perhaps go back to either the ordinances of the city council,
mm-hmm,
or to state statute,
yeah,
and essentially track it down and file complaints with the prosecuting,
mm-hmm,
attorney's,
mm-hmm,
office or whoever enforces these violations,
mm-hmm,
and press them to hold accountable,
mm-hmm,
those various people.
Yeah.
Once they know that there's a public eye on it, I think they will respond.
Right.
Especially when they hear this guy from Mississippi is involved.
Well, I would say one might suggest that this is frivolous, but just file a complaint. You know for a fact that they dumped it over there illegally. They didn't have a notice of a permit, a stockpiling permit. So all of the permits, the feds' permits say, though you're receiving our permit, you must comply with all other state, city, county laws. So don't burden yourself with finding what specific section. It's already been stated. And if you want to go to carolcox.com and pull off one of those documents and see that they gave them a notice of violation, and based on that, just write a simple letter to the Attorney General, to the mayor, to the Army Corps of Engineers, to the EPA, and say, we as a community of people, of minority community, or whatever, we believe that this was a violation and ask that you investigate.
And notice also the response that the folks up in Hawaii Kai is giving, and I've mentioned it previously, but this attitude of superiority, you know, it's just that the Waianae folks don't fully understand
right.
what has been given to them, and so they don't fully appreciate. Maybe we need to educate them. So that's very interesting.
Well, I don't understand how a man can say that people from Waianae are ignorant and... You know, those are fighting words. I just don't understand. Where are people fighting those words?
Because they're more intelligent and eloquent than this guy. Because first of all, you know, if a guy is at the steering, has a steering wheel and he's acting irrational, the first thing you do is try to somehow get out of the car safely because it's going to crash. He's going to run up a pole or something because he has the right of way for everything. Utility poles, bridges, trees.
Well, I understand that guy is also on the neighborhood board of the Hawaii Kai Association, so he should come to our neighborhood board in Waianae.
Yeah, he is. He's a District 1. He represents, he's not only the marina president, he is also a member of the neighborhood board. And I will assure you, there is not one person other than this gentleman that I've ever dealt with that share the same views and values with, ever would have come remotely near his way of expressing himself. He didn't show any compassion.
None.
And I would say, as we say in Mississippi, this is where a guy let his hummingbird mouth over, you know, his alligator mouth overload his hummingbird butt.
Yeah, I would suggest that it's not only good enough to have an individual from Hawaii Kai come and address the neighborhood board in Waianae or in the Nanakuli neighborhood board.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Waianae and Nanakuli neighborhood board should be prepared with some individuals specifically charged to do the questioning, the examination, and those things. Otherwise, all you'll get is more of the superiority attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the preparation for that kind visit from Hawaii Kai, the board itself really should be prepared with appropriate questions, appointing someone to be responsible for directed questions, and then of course you can have the rest of the community joining in.
Well, I thought about you this morning again when I heard the exchange, and I thought, you being an attorney, this is classic when a guy should always consult your attorney before you say anything, because here's the killer about his whole statement. As insulting as they were as damning as he could ever say anything, because first of all, they don't have a permit to dump it upland. They deviated and modified their actions on the federal permit, so therefore all the feds have to do is play back his piece and pick the news article, and he's admitting, yeah, we took it up there. It's clean. So he's already admitted guilt. So if I was him, I would...
You would not appear before the one.
No, I would be former president of the Hawaii Kai Marina, and if I was the Hawaii Kai Marina, I would be looking to see that I get out of there too, because first of all, the directors, all of that, because your buddy, while being insulting and offensive, admitted to guilt. So I just chuckled inside, and I thought, when I heard you talking to Ed on the phone about that, I thought, well, let's just bring that out. I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, but when he admitted, oh yeah, well, it's a knowing violation. Whoever knowingly commit these acts, so he can't claim that I didn't know.
Yeah, well, it was accidental.
Or
he proudly declares it, but it's just that those poor folks out in Waianae is ignorant and not coming in.
Yeah, it's like the guy who claims he conquered Mount Everest, but he used an army of Sherpas to guide him up there. You know, it's the same. Oh, it's Columbus discovered America, but the people that were already there ashore and living as a nation, they weren't people. So this is the arrogance that people can't get over and get past, you see, because it's, as we say in the South, if you're brown, get down. Anyway, Georgette, any more questions?
No, I just wanted to thank you for bringing this to the forefront and helping us and guiding us to what we need to do to make sure that illegal dumping is stopped in our community, or any community for that matter, because this is just wrong and egregious, and it should not happen again. And it's kind of really sad that the governmental agencies are just not even moving quickly enough to prevent this from happening. And I'm just so perplexed.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep kicking at it. So.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.
I have Poker. You. Caller, good morning. Thanks for waiting. Any comment or question?
Yo, what's up, Carol Cox? What's
okay.
up, Boca?
Good.
Oh,
what do you
guys
got
are talking
for?
About the whole dumping thing in the Hawaii Kai Marina.
Yes, sir.
What you do know, you? I think you shouldn't do illegal dumping in the Hawaii Kai Marina because the marina's gonna like it can, because something is gonna spill in the marina and then people have to clean it up.
Yep, you're right. Okay.
I mean, why would you want to do it, have illegal dumping in the Hawaii Kai Marina? It's not good, you know?
Right. Not good, and not good to dump it in Waianae, is it?
No, it's not even good to dump it in Waianae. Why would you want to do that? Why would somebody want to do that?
Yeah. Okay, uh-huh. Hey, well, thank you for your comment.
I'll call you next week.
All righty, we'll be listening, and
oh,
you listen
to me. Right.
Hello. Anyway, there's so much to be exposed here, but again, there's going to be a meeting. And so that you listeners out there will know, there's an agenda, Board of Directors meeting, Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association, Tuesday, July 9th, 2013. The Hawaii Kai Marina office boardroom at 7 p.m. That's right there by Safeway in that shopping center.
Well, that's July 9th.
Right, July 9th. But I'm just saying, but this is what they have here. Here's another one that they're going to have that meeting. I'm just reading down so that they, to show that they're organized. That's what I'm getting to show that this wasn't just an act on an individual's part. I want to show the structure of, and so here is, there's a lady named Beverly Little, marina manager, and there's John Jessman. These are people that were invited to that meeting. But they're going to be meeting Tuesday at near Safeway in the shopping center next to the Shack restaurant.
So that's September?
The Tuesday, September, what is it?
What, the 8th?
Yeah, the 9th, 10th maybe, yeah.
Okay.
But here you go. The situation is give you an idea how they set up things. Commercial Operations Marina Usage Committee. Communications on Public Relations, and I'll give anybody $10 if they guess who is the chair of the Communications and Public Relations Committee. Guess. You get $10. Clark, you win.
What about the next committee? The dredging and...
Can you imagine how ironic? The Mr. Robert Clark is the head of Communications and Public Relations Committee. He's the chairman. By golly, that was a good choice. And three, dredging committee. Wonder who's the head of that?
Could it be Clark?
Mr. Clark. You know, so folks, this isn't about what the Hawaii Kai community did, because there are Native Hawaiians that live there, and there are other people that are concerned, and they wouldn't dump on you out there in Waianae. This was this committee who, as far as I'm getting information, I'm getting back, is that it tends to be some discord there. That's what was described. I haven't been privy myself. Then there's a committee on Landscape Developing Committee. That's a different. So that's kinds of committees they have. Marina Property Management Committee. Marina Water Quality Committee. Website Technology Committee. Personnel Committee. Physical Assets Committee. So anyway, I just want to bring this up and say that this document shows how much structure they have in there. So it wasn't just something that happened by accident. They have a system, and they very organized. And so the president is Robert E. Clark, and vice president is Scaduto, Lynn Scaduto. Secretary is Jane Brown. So I'll post this up, or you can go on their website at the Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association and pull it up.com and pull it up there.
But anyway, I don't believe it's a reflection on the Hawaii Kai community. I believe it's a reflection on the Hawaii Kai Community Board of Directors. And I'll leave it at that. It's an injustice that is projected on the people, in my opinion, my description, not just on the part of these directors and the board of directors, but also the state DOT, because when they saw that accident there, while they were guessing, what was it? Is it dirt? Is it cement? Cut the guessing out and be professional and use that money that we sent you to college and school for and just ask the driver, where are you coming from, boy? He's standing right there. What is this you're hauling, boy? Right?
Was there a policeman who gave the driver a ticket?
We don't know, but they were guessing what it was. It was like, what nonsense. See, this, I'm taking this occasion to say just how dysfunctional the entire government is. Our government, the state government, and the federal government, and that we pay them handsomely, big bucks. And when you really get down to looking at what is being done, it's just they're paper pushers, and they get pissed off when you call and ask them one single question and send you down that line, you must file a FOIA. And then we got 20 days to get our lives together. So this is a problem, you know, and whether back to Syria. Whether you wrote the president and asked for information, they'll drag their feet. Or more than likely, come over and tape your line and probably have you driving off the cliff at Makua or something, you know. Or find you dead with 8 shots to the back of the head with a revolver and call it committed suicide. A revolver.
Back of the head.
So anyway, I'm being a bit getting too far gone with this. But again, Poca, what the community should become aware of, and it repeats itself, their leaders, Kimberly Pine, received this letter. Now, I've said foul things about it, but I say that if you allow her to write these kinds of things and for 2 weeks goes on and then she see that it's gaining attention in the media, then she pops up and go as if it's new and she's excited and concerned and speaking on behalf of that community. The community then need to make an assessment. Why doesn't, or how does she rise to the occasion and when? What triggers, what motivates her?
Yeah, I really haven't followed the sequence of her responses to these issues. The first one was, what was that? Just a letter of concern? And the
A community member wrote her office and wrote others, the neighborhood board members, and they in turn wrote her and involved her office, and her office contacted DPP. And they then just came back and said, oh, it's great, it's for agriculture. And again, I don't want to argue the mundane points, and that is, this is from a salt environment. Unless you're going to take emulsifiers and treat that soil and do some extractions and all of that to make it suitable for farming, it's my knowledge that salt isn't good for young sprouts, not in the high numbers, or it changes the pH in the soil. So I didn't see any treatment of the soil, the process of treatment. I just saw it being dumped, and then they claimed that they were going to haul it away or use it for bedding and construction. But it doesn't matter because it's illegal to haul it and dump it up land anyway.
Let's start and stop at Kimberly Pine's office and responsibility. One, did she inquire immediately and appropriately? And you had said that she inquired with DPP. Whether or not DPP, how it did its evaluation of the materials, I don't think that would be a concern for Kimberly Pine. I think the only concern should have been, did you permit this dumping? If the answer is no, stop the questioning. There's a violation and immediate action should be taken. You know, they should be held, whoever is responsible, held for violating. And then all the other questions which can be used as diversions will not get into play at this point. It's a simple question of either yes or no. No permit violation action has to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, you can argue about whether or not if you had applied for a permit, you would have been given one or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that question shouldn't be allowed to confuse the issue. As respect Kimberly Pine at that point, I don't see any fault or any violation for the inquiry she made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next correspondence that she had was...
She wrote a letter excited about and demanding immediate cleanup.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, my question is, what stimulated her? Nothing changed. It was the same stinky mess. Mm-hmm. And she should have said, the issue is, it's done illegally. And why did you need, you know that it's not in your system, you know as an inspector, you're not, you know, training wheels on your, so I just think that it's very suspect that she would do that. And beside, if she's notified, she's the expert. She has at her, she could have sent out a riser, and that riser request for investigation. That investigation would have found that, and she then could have written a letter to the mayor and say, look, this is an atrocious act, it's illegal, and also, what other regulations would they have to comply with? So
in this particular case, was it really the city who have committed the act, or the city for its failure to enforce a permit, or enforce a permit violation?
Well, in this case, we know that it's the city who, once you go there, 2 weeks of foot dragging. What do you need? What studies do you need when you listen to this language that was put in the letter? The DP inspectors have conducted an investigation and are working with the lessee. Well, first of all, they conducted an investigation and found that he did not have a permit, and so therefore we're demanding and immediately stop work. Because they didn't have a permit. And then, which is required for the agriculture exclusion. So they then told them, oh, go get an agriculture exclusion. Well, no. The DPP needed to know where it came from and then ask, well, this material is a foreign material to this area. What we need from you is a profile to look at the constituents of concern. You see, that never came into the play. And as professionals, that's the whole idea of zoning and managing. To protect the environment and protect people.
Mm-hmm.
So she should have had, because I don't see anything in her my crystal ball that said that something changed, that she would be motivated to write such a letter 2 weeks later. Same letter could have been written, should have been written right then. And then, according to the lessee, the soil is for farming purposes. The lessee was informed about the need to install appropriate best management practices. So, you see, you understand that they're encouraging. So where is her concern?
And yet the permit application was for
it was never
gravel.
No. That's a separate.
It's a separate dump.
Completely different. That's
okay.
You understand? Right. Nothing to do with that. And they had the proper, but with this material, because of its nature and its origin.
Yeah.
They had to, but they were sitting here talking about for farming purposes. In other words, they're going to go ahead and turn their backs on it, and until I went up there and raised the red flags and followed up on the truck dumping on the roads, this would never have come. Kimberly Pine would have never done anything like she never does. This is the way it is. And then in turn, now she saw that the news stories, and all of a sudden, oh, the bus is coming my way. Look, give me my good-looking hairdo in.
Now, this dumping had been occurring for 5 months previous?
Well, I don't know when they say the dumping. I don't want to suggest anything, but there are some other issues that we're going to be exploring in the coming weeks that is newsworthy about this site. And so, but I can tell you for many years, I have gone to that site based on complaints and have contacted the health department and filed complaints about the reported alleged illegal dumping.
Now, the site there. Itself is above the Hawaiian Homestead area?
It sits in a trench or in a gully near the stream. below. You know the park, Kupune Park, right down the cliff there in that area. And so, and it goes, it's supposed to be a 19-acre piece of property. So a couple of questions that I come to mind. If you're selling your property and you, let's just say, I don't know what he's asking for this property, $2 million. Would you continue to make improvements and take money out of your pocket and never including that money into the raising the price of it? I mean, you can't have a moving price. People are not going to be attracted to, well, today it's $1 million or $2 million, tomorrow it'll be $3 million because I'm bringing more dirt in and building. So what does that suggest? This had nothing to do with farming. And also, there's greater dangers, and it's spoken to in the DEA and also in the CDUA permits from the DLNR. And that is, a lot of this material is not useful for compaction because of the nature of it. There's a lot of silt. Yep. There's a lot of coral. There's a lot, and so therefore, you won't get the efficiency in compaction.
And that would have been covered in the grading permit.
Yes, sir. And also in the other, because it's specific what can be dumped on the shorelines and what can be dumped because of siltation. And it also describes specifically in the permit that dumping it in the ocean, the coarseness, and putting it at the Manalua Bay, the coarseness and the grit and the grain, so the diameter. Mm-hmm. So these are very specific things that went into play. But in Waianae, in the neighborhood of the native people, just dump it.
Yeah. What happens at times is that owners of real property will use their property for dumping purposes,
mm-hmm.
believing that once sold, they can run off and not be held responsible.
Yeah.
The general law is that the owner of the property at that time is responsible mm-hmm. for the cleanup.
Right.
But you can also sue the prior owner for failure of appropriate disclosure. Now, when the person who has run off is gone or is now bankrupt or not able to pay, the new buyer needs to be responsible for covering it.
Right.
And sometimes you have empty land because no one wants to come in and buy, and the cost of recovery is worth more than the land itself.
Well, historically, what I know historically about this property, I'm inclined to file the EPA request and look to see if it's a Superfund site because the unknowns that have been dumped there historically. And so there's a lot more to be said about this. And as I say, I applaud and thank the DOT and others that didn't know what it was, because if they'd have concluded, I wouldn't have developed an interest. But because they were so loose with, well, I think it's this and I think it's that, that really stimulated me to go digging. Because if they don't know and they're not bright enough or concerned enough to just ask the driver, then it's time to put on my Mississippi boots and go do some mud bogging, brother. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hey, Mr. Cox. I've been tardy. I just got to the show. Glad to hear you and Polka getting along a whole lot.
Well, who said we didn't? Come on, we're a family. Let me get that Sly Stone out for a minute, okay? Hold on. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw a little one on you. Why don't you apply for those Google glasses and try the Carol Cox reality show?
Yeah, I think people would have a hard time
getting you and setting one knee around, huh? You look great on that news report.
Well, thank you. That's
very, very animated, and it's nice to know that you're out there.
Most people from Mississippi are good-looking, man.
And you almost look Polynesian, not just Mississippian.
Well, we migrated.
You must come from a great long line of Egyptians or something.
No, I'm from Africa, believe it or not. But anyway, we'll
that
talk about
it. Sounds pretty close. But you take care, sir.
Thank you.
And have a good show.
Aloha. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Carol.
Yes.
This is Jack again.
Okay, Jack. Go ahead. We're still here with Polka.
Okay. Polka, I've given some thought to what you said as far as what I mean by actively participating in the political process of what should be right and just for the communities in which we live. You know, the examples that I would cite is along the lines of what Martin Luther King did, along the lines of Mahatma Gandhi, passive resistance, active civic engagement. Those are the key elements that I think would be vital, you know, to promote positive change, inwardly and outwardly, within our dealings with those we associate with and our political future. Without the political angle to all of this, you know, where are we? You know, how do we coexist, you know, in these uncertain times? Mm-hmm. And that's my answer to your question. Mm-hmm. How does this action present itself or manifest itself? You know, top of the list, civic engagement, getting involved, networking with people, not sitting on the wayside and being a spectator. You know, I've often said that freedom is not a spectator sport. You can't expect others to do for you what you should obligate yourself to do and follow accordingly. Be, you know, be an example and get involved. Never surrender to the apathy of saying it's all hopeless.
Yeah, you know,
they've got more money, got more this, they've got more...
Hold on, Jack. You got to go ahead.
All of that I agree with, but my point is that just talking about civic engagement when dealing with a specific issue is not pinpointed enough, because then you can have a whole crew coming out and expressing themselves on one point or another point. But if it's not pinpointed, if it's not directed to a specific outcome, let's take, for example, GMO. We're all concerned about GMO.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, but if you can say very specifically, hey, all we want is disclosure of what I'm buying, the right of an individual to have information. Now, when you start organizing around that value, you're saying more than just, hey, let's all go down to the legislature or to the city council. But then what you're doing is giving guidance to at least one basis of where the attack is to come from. That way you can pinpoint the responses from the public officials, or you can sort of give direction to the group. But just to say, let's get civically involved, we all share that value. What I'm suggesting is now we need to step it up to some clearer outcome, or when one calls for civic engagement.
Well, that's basically along the same lines of what I've been trying to explain by pinpointing, and you brought up a great example of GMO, which I am very much involved in. I have participated it from in front of the camera and behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's made the awareness of the GMO issue forefront to people's attention and awareness. And it is by civic engagement of organizing. I'm very much involved with Dr. Melissa Yee, Dr. Hector Valenzuela, Father Gigi, and the beekeeper. And we are going to continue our efforts to educate and make the public aware that food security and food purity and is vital to where we go as we move forward into a future that we've got to take control of.
Yeah,
we've got to be active participants in what we want our lives to become.
Well, you know, Polka, what I'd like to, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree. Let's take this discussion of Syria.
Hmm.
Most of us, we'll sit back and within our house, within our closed doors, and we know we're sad. We don't want to see anybody bombed. We know we disagree with Obama in this process. We know that. But we also know that great many of us are fearful that something's going to happen, or we could lose something for speaking out, even though we know it's wrong in our hearts to watch it. And so rather than you saying, well, we need to start getting the government together and changing things, you take a proactive action, something that's tangible, and you have the guts, the wherewithal to sit here and inform yourself about and speak out openly about it. That's taking an action. That's not saying, if I had 100 wagons, I'd circle them, and then we would, enough of if I had and if I could get, no. What I'm saying, and I think Jack is saying, just bring it simply put, is that
get off your duff and write a letter or do something. You don't need to circle the wagons. You don't need a pep rally. If you need a pep rally, then do it in the front of the city hall. You know.
Yes.
But that's where you're. That's why again that Syria conversation of thing. This has all of the elements why we should be involved. Why you speak out and the things you say. The average American go, I wouldn't say that. Well, because that's where we've been whipped down to, and that's your action. So,
and my thing about, and I'm glad you take Syria, because we can address that for two reasons. One, my passion against going into war, and just a general idea of how to get the public involved. I think oftentimes there's not enough critical analysis to separate. Sometimes, you know, like eating a pie, you try to bite the whole pie one time and you kill yourself.
You've been watching me eat pie lately.
Don't take it personal. But what I'm saying is, if you take it piece by piece, then you are able to digest the broader issue. Mm-hmm. So in the Syria case, first question, what really is the evidence? Was there sarin gas used? Mm-hmm. And if so, who used it? And what is the basis of the evidence? And so you take that apart to decide whether or not it calls for action. The next step is, if it calls for action, who is authorized to take that action?
Mm-hmm.
And should it be the United States alone, or should it be an international body? That kind of stuff. If it is, well, great violation of human rights have occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, we should bring Assad to the ICC.
The International Court.
The International Criminal Court.
Mm-hmm.
But Assad has not signed, or Syria has not signed, the protocol to bring him to the ICC.
Right.
So let's take another step of extending that to ask what other criminal action has been committed, so that we're not being racist or anti-Syria, but broaden it to a general principle. What are the international violations that have occurred? Do we look at George Bush? Do we look at that attack in Iraq? Do we look at the inhumanities committed there? What about what's happening in Guantanamo? What about the issue of drone strikes and the president, Barack Obama, and all of those other international crimes that are committed? Do we use the same standards, or do we excuse all of those folks and only pick on one person? In that way, all I'm saying is, by creating that analytical structure for this consideration, now you give more ways of sort of eating the pie rather than just saying the pie is good for your health or bad for your health and reaching those general conclusions. So I agree. People need to be engaged in a democratic process, but in that engagement, it's not to just march for or against, but let's take it apart and do some analysis. And that's all I'm saying.
But they all have parallels in the same elements that exist. Whether it's the mud being dumped, our government, do we trust that situation, that the government is going to fix it? Or why did it get broken when the government permitted it? You know, and so do we trust what Barack Obama say? Well, we have proof, and there's a red line, and if you cross this line and you keep moving it forward, and then you may, after a while, just drinking water in public will be an offense to Barack Obama, and then he has a right to bomb you. He gets to dictate what is the red line. He defines the red line, or others define. And that's the danger of this. And so with talk, open talk and open discussion, we send him a message that we're not buying this. You don't get to set the red line as you feel need to set the war, because your name will become Bullseye Barack if you don't, you know, and that seemed to be what it is. Now, he hadn't seen a weapon that he wouldn't fire at you. But apparently, and I love him for what he stands for, but again, you know, he too can go far too right.
Are you saying he should give back his Nobel Peace Prize?
I'm saying he should never have accepted it. You know,
exactly.
Because you know, and I'm sure his parents, grandmother, a grandmother will tell you, if you didn't earn it, don't accept it.
Yeah.
And
if you didn't earn it,
I'm sorry. I mean, I apologize to you lovers out there. I love Barack Obama more than anything. Seeing an African American walk out of the White House, I thought that's why they call it the White House. You'd never see a black man walk out of it. you know. But no, all kidding. But again, I'm overjoyed in the image that he projects for the world. It's a positive image, but it looked like everything out of his mouth is, I want to kill someone. I want to, and those
right.
things that he's not saying. He
Here's the unfortunate reality that makes everybody feel uncomfortable when they really closely examine why they chose to support Obama during his first presidency.
Well,
okay?
Yeah,
it is obvious to those who have been paying attention that his interests are not for the United States. They are global interests.
Well, I think that's like, now everybody is able to say, I knew. No, we knew what we had before he was in office, and from speaking from my stand, I was sick and tired of what was transpiring. I saw that there was going to be a chance for things improving. I was wrong. So, but I'm not going to sit here and act like a genius now because it,
but
you know.
Would you at least credit him
yeah.
for referring the question to the Congress on an
yes.
assumption that at least it's going to happen.
Right, right. And I would, and then and I applaud the others, the local Congress and the Senate, to say, no, you're from Punahou, but that ain't going to go, bro. You know, but anyway.
If I may add this in closing.
Real quick now, we're coming down to the last few minutes.
This is my last point. The danger that America is facing is that we have lost sight of the lessons of history. That's why we keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. If you want a good comparison of Syria, look at Vietnam. Look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. And everything that transpired during Vietnam to perpetuate that war.
Well, that's why I said to Polka, you got noise there. That's why I say to Polka, it's good that he raised these issues because we forget our history.
Yes.
Right? And so because we are trying to get caught up in the new issues, the modern issues, and we
right.
forget the old issues. But guess what? They're all the same.
They're all interwoven, and it's on a timeline.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But anyway, for clarification, let me digress just 1 second here because we got no more time. But, Polka, we were discussing the rules on that soil and who, what agencies. Real quick, so that you folk out there know who to contact. 1.5, page 5 of the draft environmental assessment. Number 1.5, required federal and state approval. And applicable regulatory requirements. The Hawaii Kai Marina Community Association is applying for the following permits for the proposed maintenance and dredging. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Section 40410, Standard Individual Permit. Department of Health, 401, Water Quality Certification and National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDS. Department of Land and Natural Resources, Conservation District Use Permit. Department of Planning and Coastal Zone Management Program Federal Consistent Review. So these are the regulatory bodies, and we'll post this up on the website. So, Jack, real quick, you got about 20 seconds.
Just let me say this in closing, and this is a mantra that I constantly, whenever the opportunity presents itself, I repeat, and I will continue to repeat it, and it is this. The people united shall never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jack. We'll talk and get together. Aloha.
Have a pleasant day.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Call a good...
Okay. Well, Carol, thank you very much for inviting me into your program and sharing some time with you.
Well, I wanted to share that think the thing. We're at the same station. We're fighting for the same cause and speaking to the same issues, and that is civil rights, justice, and the right thing to do, and whatever that is.
Yeah. And I think also the importance of conversation.
Yeah.
And to be able to converse and educate one another and ourselves in that conversation.
Yeah.
So
and
I really appreciate your program.
And you folks listening out there, KWAI is a place where we're not taking advantage of it. I mean, it's affordable, it's worth it, and you should think about incorporating it into your efforts rather than when we talk about circling the wagon or what do you do. You can come in here and contact the manager, owner Barry and his brother, and I would tell you, I think this is where you get your voice from, right here, folks, because you go down to the state capitol, you get a minute to talk, to tell your life story. And so this is where it's happening, KWAI, and I encourage you to call me, and I'll connect you with the management, and you really should to pitch together and have a voice, man. You need to do something because, you know, they're speaking for you but not saying what you want them to say. Well, thank you, Polka. And we'll see you next week, and I enjoyed this. But keep your eyes open and ears open for what's to come on that property over there in Waianae, and we're going to see what the mayor says. We think that he has the ability to shut it down immediately because, and also the Army Corps of Engineers, and so we'll keep watching. Aloha.
The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.